بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب الإخلاص وإحضار النية في جميع الأعمال والأقوال والأحوال البارزة والخفية. مجلس يريد كتاب رياض الصالحين. إمام النووي رحمة الله عليه the author of this kitab has mentioned the first chapter, and the first chapter, the heading is the chapter concerning ikhlas, sincerity, وإحضار النية, making your niyat, intention, present. So it's the presence of one's intention in all one's actions, speech, conditions, be they external or internal. So the whole chapter is talking about inculcating in ourselves ikhlas, sincerity. It is his habit that when he brings any topic, before mentioning the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi will first bring one or two or more verses of the Qur'an first. There will be some ayahs of the Qur'an pertaining to this topic, explaining this topic or related to this topic. So in this particular topic of sincerity, and the very many verses of the Qur'an, there are approximately 22 verses that speak about ikhlas directly. The word mukhlisin, ikhlas, plus minus 22 verses Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. The other verses also pertaining to ikhlas. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has just chosen three verses. And the first verse, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ, that they have not been commanded except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making his deen sincere for him. In other words, obeying and worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no other God. The second verse, which we hear commonly on the day of Eid al-Adha, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The flesh, the blood of the animal never reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not in need of that. What reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa, and in this particular instance, it refers to the sincerity of the slaughterer. He's slaughtering solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any other gain, or not for any other purpose. And the third verse is brought, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people that if they have to conceal their intention or reveal their intention, Allah is well aware of whatever they have intended. And that the hadith, عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. رواه إمام المحدثين أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم ابن المغيرة ابن بردزبه الجعفي البخاري وأبو الحسين مسلم بن الحجاج ابن مسلم القشيري النيزابوري في صحيحهما اللذين هما أصح الكتب المصنفة. So أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه narrates his hadith and explains his biography some other time, in which he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that actions are only dependent according to the intentions, and for every person will be the reward for what he intended. So whosoever's migration was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will be rewarded for his migration being towards Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whosoever's migration was for the sake of dunya, for the purpose of dunya, he would attain it. Or it was to marry a woman, he migrated from place A to place B just to marry a woman, he will marry her. So in conclusion, Rasul says, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. His hijrat will be deemed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the purpose he went. He left Makkah and he went to Medina. If it was solely for the pleasure of Allah, he gets his full reward. If it was for the sake of any dunya, he went to do business, he'll gain some dunya, he'll gain some profit. But he won't be rewarded in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he went to marry a woman there, so he will marry her, but he will not be getting the reward for hijrah. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, like many other scholars, commenced their collection of ahadith, thousands of ahadith, but right in the beginning they brought this particular hadith. All of us could learn it, the first part at least. innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. That action, in the word Arabic, the word innama comes to what we term as hasar, mean confining something. So we say actions are only dependent according to the intention. If the action is, if the intention is good, it is solely for the pleasure of Allah, a person gets full reward. If the intention was not only to please Allah, but for other purposes as well, then he does not get full reward. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi also in his Bukhari, he mentioned this as the first hadith. And in fact in Bukhari Sharif, with some variations in the wordings, this hadith appears 7 times in different places in Bukhari Sharif. So here, scholars have also mentioned this particular hadith right in the beginning of the book. Why? First of all, for the writer, the speaker, to correct his intention. Why am I teaching? Why am I giving this dars? Why am I writing this kitab? Then for the listener, for the student, why am I studying this hadith? Why am I learning deen? It should only be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each time, whether it's a dars of tafsir or hadith or whatever it may be, we should always check our intentions. Am I doing it for show, for ostentation, so people talk good about me and I can gain some fame? No, this should never be our reason. Our purpose, our sole intention should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Niyat, the word niyat comes, is a plural of niyah. Niyah means intention. So, innama al-a'malu bin niyat, that every action is judged according to its intention. This hadith is also regarded as from Jawami'ul Kalim. Rasulullah mentioned a few words, just a few words. Yet the meaning is so profound, it is so vast. So this is a very comprehensive hadith, a very beneficial hadith, which teaches us, directs our attention that we should do things solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a lesson from this hadith. Let us do every single action to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were persecuted in Makkah, and we're not going to go into the details of seerah. But a time came when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission to, in fact commanded Rasulullah now to leave Makkah, the land of the Quraysh, the Kuffar, and he must make hijrah to Medina. It was very, very difficult upon Rasulullah. Because when he came out onto the outskirts of Makkah, he actually faced Makkah. And he shed those tears. And he mentioned that, oh Makkah, I love you so much. Had it not been for your people, I would not have left you. So this was the love Rasulullah had for Makkah. But he was compelled, he was forced to make hijrah to Medina. And the Sahaba also had already began living before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah had commanded the Sahaba to leave Makkah and go to Medina. They were known as the Muhajirun. The Muhajirin. They left Makkah and they went to Medina. The people of Medina who were already Muslims and they were Sahaba, they are known as Ansar, the helpers. What is the root letters of Ikhlas? In Arabic we have root letters. Ikhlas. Kha, Lam, Sad, Khalasa. This is the root letters. And Mufassirin and Lexi, and the lexicon mentioned, the ulama, the scholars say, Khalasa actually means to purify oneself. It talks about something being unadulterated, absolutely pure, clean. We talk about he's very mukhris, means he is sincere. He's dedicating himself to a particular cause. He's dedicating himself to the pleasure, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His ibadat is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have Suratul Ikhlas. Why is it known as Suratul Ikhlas? Number one, because in this particular surah, it is khalisa. It is only talking about the qualities of Allah. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say Allah is one. Allahu samad. Allah is self-sufficient. Allah has got no children. Allah has got no parents. Nobody is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is khalis, purely talking about the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other reason that ulama give, that the reciter has dedicated tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah alone and for no other person. We have kalimatul ikhlas. What is kalimatul ikhlas? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. What we are doing there? We are negating shirk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has got no partners. So we are talking again about the oneness of Allah. It means only Allah deserves to be obeyed and worshipped. No other person is worthy of being worshipped. And then we have ikhlas in fitta'ah, meaning we should do actions solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for any show. Allah talks about ikhlas in many places, but just two particular verses and we'll terminate for today, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the kuffar aboard a ship and the ship is in the middle of the sea and there's a heavy storm, it is about to sink. The kuffar at that time actually turned their attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. At that time they promised that, Allah, there is no other deity besides you. And if you save us, then we'll worship only you. Allah saved them. Allah brought them safely to the shore. Immediately they rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. When they were caught in the midst of the storm, they realized it is only Allah who can help them. So at that particular time, there was dedicated deen only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah talks about the believers, فَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Allah instructs the believers that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the condition that you're making this deen only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many ahadith related to this, inshallah tomorrow we'll continue. So today inshallah we learn that whatever we do, it should only be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. SubhanAllah.